Yeah. Welcome to another episode of Victory, the podcast. I'm Doug Ellen.
I'm Kevin Dillon.
Victory!
That is spraying.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be delish. Oh.
You seem chipper, and I tell you that brings me to something. Before we got on here, Kevin Dillon was bragging about doing 12 pull-ups, and I'm going chin-ups or pull-ups because kind of a shocking...
It is a difference, but I've always done pull-ups, so I'm actually just as good as pull-ups. It's the same to me.
Wow.
All right. Hate to interrupt, and I promise I'm gonna keep my interruptions to a minimum.
No, we want
today.
You.
We want them.
Today is good. Season 2, episode 1,
yes.
The boys are back.
The boys
We're
going to
get into that.
First is this chin-up, pull-up thing. We had a conversation with...
Well, pull-ups are harder, right?
They are, but if that's what you focus on, they could be about the same. So I could do as many pull-ups as I can chin-ups.
Just for the record,
I don't know. People know pull-ups are hands out, palms out. Chin-ups are like more of a curl.
Yeah, chin-ups far easier.
And I could do 12 now because I lost so much weight.
I'm proud of you. But
you look great.
Due to a breakup.
Yeah, all right.
Coming off the breakup diet, bro, you look fantastic.
Yeah, nothing like a breakup to you.
I've got to be serious. I don't want to make anyone else feel uncomfortable. We walked in. You walked in, and I saw you 8 days ago, and you walked in. You looked like Blue Steel. You looked like a male model. I'm serious. This has been a long time coming. Here's the disaster, because we're actually... How Entourage always plays into our life. This makes me think of the pilot, because in the pilot... E was broken up or having troubles with his girl, and drama said, I don't want to call her something nasty, and then you get back together with her, and then we all feel bad about it. So that's always the case.
You don't have to worry about that now, because we are not getting back together 100%.
One of the things that I try to explain to people about Entourage, but from day one of the show till the movie, we collectively as a group, all of us, went through a lot together on all kinds of different levels, good, the bad, the ugly, whatever you want to say. But, you know, I'm not going to lie. It bothers me to see Kevin a little hurt in a breakup.
Of course.
By the way, I'll wear mirrored sunglasses this whole episode.
Can I borrow those? I don't want you guys to see my tears.
why is Kevin Connolly wearing? Is he crying?
I feel like wearing cool guy sunglasses.
He looks cool. He looks good. He looks like a cop.
I am a cop.
He looks like drama in that Taggart. First of all, we talked about our relationships, which all sort of weirdly intertwined in Italy. I almost got a trip, though.
It was a great trip.
It was one of the best trips of my life.
You spent a fortune.
I spent a fortune.
So you're going to get married.
I'm going to get married.
So everybody flies halfway around the world.
No, not quite. I called it off 3 weeks before. And I said, whoever would like to still come, it's already paid for. I'm going to be there. Please join us.
We thought that maybe still it might happen. Even to the last second, we thought maybe he's just messing around. He's really going to get married.
I didn't think it was going to happen, although she did have a dress that I didn't know about.
She came out in a wedding dress.
For you to change your mind.
She was prepared for me to change my mind. I was not going to change my mind. But anyway, I need to start right before Italy, because this is another one of our when Kevin Connolly blocked me on Facebook moments. Because what happened was we'd have dinner, whatever. So I sent a group message to everyone and their girlfriends. I said, want to come up to the house on Sunday for dinner? And I got a separate message from Connolly that said, easy on the group texts, bro. And I was like,
I don't remember that.
Now, I have no idea they have any problems at all. None. So I'm just like, what do you mean? Everything okay? And I don't think I spoke to him. I swear to you, I didn't hear from him for 4 months. So then we're in Italy. His ex-girlfriend's there. I have no idea what their relationship is, but she's crying while I spent like $100,000 on this trip. She is crying the whole time, and I'm playing amateur psychiatrist. I'm also calling Kevin, who I can hear he's mad at me, but I really don't know why. It was all good stuff, but it leads us to this heartbreak. Kevin Dillon accidentally killed a duck.
Okay, for those of you just bringing everybody up to speed, we spoke about this on a prior episode. In case you hadn't heard it, there was a tragic incident in Malibu where Dillon and the girlfriend saved a duck. And then somebody stepped on the duck and killed the duck, and it may or may have not been Dillon. We just don't know.
It may not have been me that killed that duck.
By the way.
We don't know what happened.
By the way, at this point.
Let's just call.
Me.
No, I don't know that.
It was involuntary.
I don't know that. I never felt it. I just saw it on the ground.
It was involuntary.
Wait a second.
First of all, it should have been in the box.
Wait a sec. I mean, Kevin Connolly, if you're not hearing a new fucking murder podcast right now.
And to be honest with you, I took the heat. Because she was so upset when she saw the duck. I took it upon myself to say, maybe it was me when I walked in.
Just easy
I didn't
to say
want to see her
it.
So upset. Right. She was so upset about the duck.
Okay, well,
so I really think that maybe.
Well, my personal relationship advice for you is if you ever need that closure, the only closure you really need is what happened to the duck and let me be free and clear and have my conscience off and tell me if you remember. She might not. She might have blacked out or whatever.
She won't remember.
Look, it's always about communication. And it was nice of Dylan to take the bullet. It's funny how you shift the blame here or there. We had an incident recently, Zulai, who's my girlfriend and I, where we went out for a few hours, 5-6 hours to be exact, and somebody left the front door open. We have two dogs. We have Brody, the mini golden doodle, and Chloe, the Frenchie. And thankfully, when we came back, the dogs were on the front porch. And disaster averted, needless to say, because that would have been awful. People were upset. I was upset.
Who left the door open?
Well,
but nothing happened.
Yeah, but it's not all about the end result.
I parked my car in the garage. I haven't walked out the front door in 10 years. Mm. So, and she's like, well, yeah, you know, the worst part is that it probably would have been my fault. And I said, well,
probably.
Not probably. It definitely would have been your fault because you left the door open. But the good news is the dog stayed and that was it. But that talk about the potential disaster.
Yeah. And then you got to let it go, which is, you know, I always say, would you rather be right or happy? But hopefully, God willing, Kevin Connolly and this beautiful woman will have a baby soon. You got to make sure, you know, the baby doesn't get out.
Well, we will make sure the baby door is closed and baby comes. But let's get into what we're talking about before we get into the episode. And then I think we should get into the episode.
We will.
Let's for a second, I just want to say I'm a horrible picker with the ladies. Can you guys pick for me or I'll get my mom to pick?
Actually. This new young lady that you seem to be chatting with seems fantastic.
And she sings, which is great.
And right. A smoke show, I might add.
Well, Kevin Dillon is a slow burner, so we'll see if he can make this happen or if we just humiliate him. I mean, what are the odds that she actually listens to this podcast?
That, yeah, I can get shot down.
I always try to tell my girl, men have to be taught a lot of things. We don't know necessarily, right? So we're talking about Instagram now, right? Why do you follow this person? Or why did you like this picture? It's a thing. Yeah. So with the theme of what we're talking about today, when I break up with my girlfriend, do you, as my buddy, still follow my girl on Instagram and like her pictures? Mm. Well, that's what we're talking
about. Well, here's the situation. And no, like, I'm not putting Kevin Dillon on the spot at all because we were all friends with my ex-girlfriend and Kevin still follows her. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But
well, I asked you at one stage. I said, Doug, should I follow? Yeah, you could still follow her.
All right. I was probably okay with it. But Kevin Dillon's relationship now ended in a bad way that none of us are thrilled with. So I blocked her immediately.
Right.
Immediately. Right. And
so it depends on the severity.
I will do the
breakup.
Same now.
But is it the severity of the breakup that makes you unfollow somebody?
It was ugly and it was bad.
For example, I'm not going to mention their names, but very close friends of mine, they were a married couple. They had a very amicable divorce and not in a million years. In fact, he would be bummed me if I unfollowed her and didn't continue my friendship with her because they had such a good breakup.
I mean, that's great. And by the way, my first wife, she's not really even on Instagram, but of course, you guys we're friends with her and I love her and would never want you not to be friends with her.
I still don't follow her. I love her, but I don't follow her.
I don't even know if she's on Instagram because that was so before the time, but I'm saying like there's different relationships and stuff, but when things end poorly, but more importantly, I think no matter what, when a relationship ends, it's not only following, it's the liking. It's the going when someone...
So that's really a thing?
You know, because you get it publicly. So what happened with me is I have this ex-girlfriend, and it's all good. I want her to be great and happy and this and that. But I get messages from people like, why does your family keep liking these photos of her? Like, they are, you know what I mean? And we have a woman in here now who we want to bring in to discuss from a woman's point of view.
Okay, so Narod Michelle is about to join us. Narod.
All
right. Narod is my right-hand man, woman, at Action Park Media. Without her, the walls in this place would tumble. She is the boss. But she's also a lady in the game and knows the Instagram do's and don'ts and has very strong opinions about it.
Yeah, I mean, my question to you is, from a women's point of view, because actually I was married for 90 days. I know I'm fucking crazy. But I swear, with a very mature person, one of the biggest fights we had was about this Instagram, which I do think 2 years ago was a lot different than now. I think people, almost everybody gets that this is a business now. And when people have a lot of followers, it helps your following. And you try to spread the love and everybody rises. That being said, You have a serious boyfriend now?
Correct.
Okay, do you monitor who he follows?
So I don't even know if he knows this.
He does now.
Yeah, he will.
He will now. As soon as things became serious, the first thing I did was go through all the girls that he follows.
Wow.
And I literally clicked on each one and looked through their photos.
But to see,
you didn't block them, though.
But to see,
well, no,
he,
I don't
but
have
the, you don't have the access to
that. The thing is,
that.
I don't have his password, but gotcha. I don't think I would go there just
my ex set me up on Instagram, so I wasn't even on. So she had total control over everything. I just kind of fought to get everything back. But then I found out that thousands of beautiful girls have been blocked from my Instagram. So if you're out there, you can follow me now. It's all good.
Kevin Dillon, very late to the party on Instagram, has about 100,000 followers. If it was not for this ex-girlfriend, he'd have 4 million followers.
No, I started too late. If I did it during the great Entourage years, I would have had a lot more.
Nora, did you go through and look at the pictures and see how many of them he liked?
Yes, so I did. But the thing is, the girls that a guy follows says a lot about him. For example, if a guy is following a lot of like those influencers, like those Instagram models and stuff, like I think that says a lot about you.
Mm-hmm. In a good
especially in a bad way, especially if you're in a relationship. I'm like, why do you have to follow like this girl and look at photos of her ass every day?
Okay, now let's say here's the thing, because this is a trick I have. By the way, I have a lovely girlfriend and I don't follow anyone. She wouldn't approve of. But when someone with 3 million followers follows me, I follow them back because, and it's been great for this, they repost the podcast.
Okay.
They do things. So you can mute them. You can do things.
So how do you know they have 3 million viewers? I mean, how do you know who's following you that has 3 million viewers?
Well,
you have to click on every...
No. You get a message. Someone wants to follow you. You look at their profile. They have a blue check and 3 million followers. It's kind of silly not to.
You're biased.
Anyone with a blue check.
Blue check. Jocker.
Especially you want to promote the podcast, whatever.
I'll accept anyone with a blue check.
The next step, Doug, for you, if I was your girlfriend, I would probably go and see when they posted their photo and then did you like it? And how far in a relationship were we?
This is a big thing with me and it always has been. And I guess somehow I messed up once upon a time. I won't like anyone's photo that is attempting to be sexy in a bathing suit.
Yeah.
Like, never. That's just like basic 101, which Kevin will learn now.
Yes.
Like, if you're in a relationship,
I follow
and
people I was never allowed to follow before.
If you go to their photo and you follow them, I'll see Kevin Dillon like this. So you're following a girl and I go to that
you
page.
You have to go to her page.
Page, and then I'll see it. But it used to just come up on your page. So,
all right, let me ask Narod this, and I'm going to use the initials. B, who is the girl, Narod's friend. And Jay, the boyfriend, break up. Do you have to unfollow Jay?
It depends on how the breakup was.
Mm-hmm.
But if my friend is super hurt from it, then absolutely I have to unfollow him.
I
would never like any of his photos after that. Like, I probably would just tie.
So even if you didn't have to unfollow him, you still just wouldn't like his pictures.
And by the way,
I would not be active.
By the way, even if you were friends, you would never like a picture of him with another woman.
Never. There's just these like things that you just know
Kevin's
on Instagram
learning.
Of things that you probably shouldn't do.
Yeah.
What are the big don'ts?
Well, the obvious one is do not slide into someone's DM.
Do not slide into
what is
someone's
a DM?
DM is the instant message.
I love you.
By the way, look how innocent he is.
The private messages that you get on Instagram are your direct messages, and we call them DMs.
Oh.
Yeah. And they're basically...
Can people see what you're doing?
No, that's private.
Your girlfriend can see it if she takes access of your phone. By the way, my rule at 52 years old, if I need to hide my phone from my girlfriend, I should not be with her anymore. That's the rule now.
Right.
At 25... Whatever your age is, we won't have
we'll
to say it.
We'll keep 25.
But at 25, the world is a different place. But you shouldn't have to hide your phone at this point.
No.
But if you get caught DMing somebody, I mean, then it's honestly over. And I wanted to ask you, if you found your boyfriend doing that, does that end the relationship? Do you even give time for an explanation?
No, something that I've learned is that like what Instagram means to men is way different than what it means to women. Like, for example, I don't think a lot of guys would go through a girl's followers or check to see, that's what I've learned too, is like guys don't do that.
Yeah. Well, by the way, there are guys who do it and that's a red fucking flag right there. I also think, though, no offense to you, if your girl is going through it before you've given her a reason to doubt you, then it's already a problem.
I'd say 98% agreed. Of girls do it.
No, what she's really? Saying yeah, is that it's standard 98. For girls I when heard. It becomes serious with a guy, you go through and see who they follow and go, why would you follow this
yeah,
person?
Why?
I heard what she said. I'm just saying, to me, it's a red flag. So I'm looking for the 2%. That's all.
You don't think Sarah's combed through your followers?
What happened with Sarah, and there was one follower. She made me this awesome video for my birthday. Got all my friends. I don't know if either of you did.
Yeah, we both did. Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Come on, man.
That was great. You guys were memorable.
Oh, you didn't remember us.
I'm not sure it made the final cut, but yeah, we definitely sent one in.
You're in the director's cut, the Criterion Collection director's cut. But there was one that was exactly what I'm talking about. Someone followed me who's a whatever, good-looking 3 million follower woman, and I followed back.
I love
back.
That Doug like has to stick the followers on there. Well, it's amazing.
Well, if you're following
you're
a girl...
52 years old.
If you're...
Makes a difference. $3 million. Hey, he's got to follow. It's a career move.
Let's really talk about this. The only thing that advertises this podcast is 123 Instagram. So everything I've done for the last year is basically been
I believe that's true.
Yeah, I believe that's 100% true. So, and I argued that 2 years ago about that. But anyway, and if you're following like a good looking girl who has 112 followers, you're up to something that's really not good, you know? So it's one thing to have a public figure that maybe you reciprocate. Because a lot of people have reposted this podcast. It's been very good for us. Mm-hmm. They put it in their stories and they put whatever.
And also, too, but there's also a lot of things that can go behind follows. Like, you know, I've gotten calls from friends back home that I went to high school with. My cousins.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of them are family, and it can look worse than it is. And truthfully, like, if my girl said, hey, you know, I don't like you following this girl, I unfollow her.
Yeah, exactly. Enough about Instagram.
One more
thing before we get in now. The beauty of the podcast has been growing, doing well. We're getting advertised.
Yes.
So we got this amazing product that's funny because Johnny Drama used the old school way in the early episodes. And we're talking about the lawnmower.
Oh, I love this. Narod, the boss lady, is mad at you guys. For the audience at home, the lawnmower, it's not an actual lawnmower. It's the lawnmower 3.0 where you've got a flashlight. It's a man grooming tool. And Narod's annoyed because they're not paying for this ad read. And you guys want to do a bit on Manscaped lawnmower? Go ahead. But we're not talking about an actual lawnmower. We're talking about the product.
I'm talking about this because... I realize, you know, I come in, I see these nice packed lawnmowers, and then I'm like, he just gave Kevin Dillon one. Kevin Connolly's holding one like it's a fucking like trophy.
I didn't take it.
What happened to mine?
I apologize. I stole your lawnmower.
He stole my lawnmower.
But that's not even the greatest thing.
He is a hairy guy, though. He's got a lot to mow.
Point is, I felt bad about it right away. And literally, as I'm walking to my car with this thing, I'm like, I just stole Doug's lawnmower.
Okay. Doug is growing out of control right now. He really needs some good manscaping. So
and not only
get
not
it back
to mention
to
Doug, also, too, what is this, your fucking P.O. box? Every day we get a new fucking package.
I know. I can't have
stop
stuff.
Sending
I can't
shit
have
here.
Stuff coming
well,
to the
that's
house.
That's it. Because if it comes to Action Park Media, it's
so my girlfriend, though, says, I heard you talking about the lawnmower. Where's yours? I said,
why are you so damn hairy?
So I said, Connolly stole it. And she goes, well, get it back. I'm like, he fucking used it.
I wouldn't want it back now, bro. I don't think you want it back now, bro.
There's not a Dr. Fauci sterilization program that is good enough for me to take that thing back. I mean, never.
I'm sure they would hook us up with another one.
So I don't know if
whatever, but it's just funny because this sounds like an ad read and they're not advertising on the podcast.
So I don't know.
Maybe
on
the next one.
I want a lawnmower, though, if they'll give us one.
All right. Back from the break. Season 2, episode 1. After a long hiatus. By the way, Doug, what's up with the HBO long hiatuses? I feel like all of their shows have these super long hiatuses.
I agree, Kev.
Right?
To be
and everyone's
honest,
always complaining. They're like, why such a long
I gotta wait
hiatus?
Till 2025 for the next season.
Yeah.
Of like,
to be
it's
honest,
not just us. It's
to be honest, that was more about me than them. I mean, that was about trying to have as many scripts done as possible. I think it's the same thing with Sopranos. I'm sure that's the situation with Curb.
Okay.
You know, we didn't want to rush it. We wanted to have the scripts done and good and right. And HBO's, you know, they're good enough to not rush it. So they'll let you go and make sure you're ready. So
I would always tell people one thing about Doug and Kev, well, you know this, the table readings are a big deal for TV shows.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you do a table reading for a TV show and somebody gets fired. There's a page one rewrite.
There's a complete rewrite sometimes.
Doug's scripts were almost like a courtesy. It was like, by the way, here's the episode, right? Yeah. It was like very little change. We would get a chunk of scripts and pretty much for the most part, we had at least half the season before we went anywhere near the set, which was why Doug would get annoyed when we didn't know our lines.
Yeah.
Which was often.
Not me. Not me. I was on point.
You were
Dylan,
on point.
Dylan, you were on point.
And so was I.
Yeah, you both were.
Yes.
We'll leave.
We don't want to say any names.
We don't want to say any names. It's not Jerry either.
We don't want to say any names, Adrian.
Season 2, episode 1.
The boys are back in town.
The boys are back in town. And the one thing that I always think, and I said this, and Doug, you and I talked a little bit about it, but when you're doing your pilot or your season 1, you don't really know, right? We don't really know what's what. But by the time we started shooting season 2, we knew that the bar had been raised. Yeah. And in my opinion, everybody came in with their A game, which is why season 2 is good.
I just watched the episode.
You were just jacked. Dylan, you were jacked.
I lost all my notes, so I don't have them here right now. But I was just shocked at how great everyone was. I mean,
just
season 1 was great.
I was shocked by the writing.
Do you remember that it was raining first day back?
I do remember that. The plane.
But the plane was in the hangar, so we were able to do it and stay dry.
No, the plane was not in the hangar. We moved it to the hangar because we were freaking out. It was pouring. I remember that.
Torrential downpour rain on day one.
And I got to tell you, I mean, I watched it this morning, too. And again, there's no whatever. Everyone's going to judge this for what it is. But me sitting back as just a fan now, like forgetting what my involvement is, I really loved it. Now, I understand we can talk about that for a minute because there are some lines in there that people always want to talk about. What would you do different today? Okay, so we can talk about time and place as they were. And it was realistic to time and place. And
Larry Charles really laid that out nicely.
Yeah, and the episode we did with Larry, he really did. But obviously, there are a lot of stuff between the guys that's, you know, making...
Doug, just come out with it. What lines bothered you from the episode?
Well, when you look at Connolly going, you guys, it's not that it bothers me. It's how guys talk, and it was never meant to be homophobic. But of course, you don't want anyone looking back.
Well, when I said jerk each other off, but with that, is that homophobic?
I mean,
I don't know. That's just busting chops.
It's busting chops and saying that.
You're saying you wouldn't write that now.
I wouldn't write it now. You know,
well, the thing with Lloyd was, you know, when I see Lloyd, Ari's got a new assistant, and I'm like, giving him a little attitude. Because
And you can dismiss that.
Do you feel like that's a homophobic thing? Because I didn't look at it that way from my character.
I don't have any problem. I don't have any problem with any of it. My point is there's no doubt when you watch it now, you go, oh, well, okay. Mm-hmm. But also the big thing is to remember is the way Ari speaks in that office would never fly in 2020. But that was realistic then. Right. So like if Ari spoke like that in his office, he'd be on the cover of Variety.
In a day.
And fired, and that would be the end of his
life. And if he shot people with a paintball gun, he'd be arrested.
Yeah, that'd probably be. Yes. But also just in terms of light comedy stuff, L.A., I'm a big food guy, as anyone who knows me knows. God.
Well, bro, how do I know this? Because I get to look at all of your meals on Instagram.
Some people enjoy that, Kevin. And by the way,
stupid.
I'm not one of those people.
I'm low sugar. As of this morning, I started a low sugar diet, so I'm a little fucking hangry. So
You're hangry. You should go on my diet. I don't eat for a couple of weeks.
That's the breakup diet. Saltines and tuna.
I really need to look at your breakfast, lunch, and dinner like I need a hole in the head.
My point was...
I'm with you, Kevin. Oh, I don't like to see meals.
By the way, getting a like out of Kevin Connolly on Instagram is not easy.
I like everything I see you put up.
Thank you.
If my buddies put it up, I like it.
That's how I live.
Because when I do like it, that means I really like it.
I don't know if that's good. No, I don't
care. You better like everything.
Just be supportive. All ships rise together.
Somebody just likes everything. You're like, all right, they like everything. But when I like something, it's kind of like when I say, ha ha, I'm really laughing. You're a courtesy ha ha.
No. I actually, when I see my close friends, I like it. You know, unless they've done something offensive or disgusting, I like it.
Sorry, I'm not going to like your fucking bolognese. I don't like.
Back to the food point, because I am so obsessed with food. The whole beginning is talking about the pizza and the bagels in Los Angeles.
Doug, this is good. Go ahead,
but I'm saying this is really back then. You couldn't get good bagels or good pizza in Los Angeles. Now there's a I can list 20 great pizzas and
because
20 great bagels.
Because they import the water. New York water is like
– Is that what it is?
It wins every year. It's the top water in the country.
I don't –
Like taste test.
Right.
For everything, for tasting.
That's what I'm saying. Again, and I don't want to get into an argument about what the best pizza place is. In my opinion –
Sal's Pizzeria Mamaroneck, by the
Vito,
way.
No, but here in L.A., Vito's Pizza on La Cienega.
Phenomenal.
It is phenomenal.
Yeah. Nicky's Pizza.
I guess it's not as good as fucking Mulberry, whatever.
It's my boy. A little shout out for my boy.
I don't even, by the way, because Village Pizza on Larchmont is great. I don't even know Nicky's Pizza on Larchmont. I don't know.
No. Larchmont, New York.
Oh, okay.
No, New York. Kev, we're
it's my boy, Johnny Manna.
We're talking about bagels
LA?
And pizza in L.A.
We're Diamores, Malibu.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
It's not Vito's.
Forget it. Okay, let me just say, I'm going to throw off a couple just so people know if they live in LA. John and Vinny's, amazing.
Right.
Roberta's, which is from New York, amazing. Madeo, everything's amazing.
Diamores. You said Diamores, right, Kev?
I didn't say Diamores. Because Diamores.
Not Diamores. What's the one in Beverly
Vito's
Hills?
On La Cienega. Oh, Vito, Mulberry Street.
Mulberry Street. Good. Very good pizza.
Vito's is excellent. Village Pizza is excellent. And Bagels, Pops LA Bagels, phenomenal. And Bagel Brokers. Broker's been around for a while and good. But anyway, my point was things change. And now LA has become a great food town. When we started here in 1990, it wasn't.
It was a tough slice. You couldn't get a good slice.
It was tough food, to be honest, altogether. Now it's.
But we didn't start Entourage until 2003. So were there good bagels in 2003?
I mean, Bagel Broker was good, and I don't know when they started. But there was not a lot of good pizza or bagels in LA. I mean, I used to legitimately like the episode, which
I
loved.
It's a known thing, because Dylan said, like, unless they can figure out a way to ship in the water.
Yeah.
But like I said, I brought in things in the show that I loved from New York. H&H Bagels and Eddie's Pizza and Sable's Lobster Salad. I forget what else Turtle delivers. But my point to all of this was times change. And things were written. I wouldn't write that scene that you can't get good pizza, just as I wouldn't have Ari speaking to Lloyd the way he spoke to him. But so things change. And that being said, watching it this morning, I loved it. I loved everybody's performance.
Yes.
And I really liked the story. I got into it and I thought it was realistic. So let's
kind of. What was the story? Because I don't watch the episode.
You don't.
By the way, it's becoming a little bit with Connolly, but it's also he doesn't watch the episode. So he's not doing the homework.
I have 10 podcasts and the whole thing.
Businessman.
Turtle's storyline was pretty funny, too, because he's just not appreciated. He's doing a lot of work. And,
but it was all...
You know, he gets my headshot. I go to Apple for my headshot.
Oh, is this the one where he gets the Apple headshot?
Yes. He sets that up for me. And at the end, he's like, you all owe me an apology.
Connolly's trying
to
do
nothing.
Connolly's so confused between this and Ethan Suplee's fucking podcast. He's like, what are we talking about today? You know, so...
Who's your number one podcast? Let's get to the bottom of this right now.
You're right there. You're right there.
By the way, do you notice how he says you guys? When we're number one, he'll be part of this.
Yeah,
but until then, he's like,
where?
Yeah. When we're number one, I will be part of it. Trust me, because I'll be part of the back end of it in a big fucking
businessman.
Way.
Businessman. The story
bigger
of
part
the
of
thing.
It than you.
We haven't signed our papers yet, actually.
That's true, too.
Dylan, we haven't signed our papers yet.
We're going to fucking talk about this. Are you guys going to slow play me on this contract?
We can talk about it. By the way, we should talk about this because that's how close we are right now. Like the contract, Dylan and I have had some sidebar conversations about it.
I bet you have. You know,
my lawyer, my very prominent lawyer, Jeff Frankel, will be calling. And there's a good chance I'll be taking these lights and cameras home with me by the end of this.
But I like this mic. I could do this from home. Voiceover work.
Here's the thing I'm going to say about the contract. It's a one-year contract. You're already fucking halfway. I mean, like, honestly. Like,
so you're not going to try to start it when we sign. This is like whenever we sign is what's left.
Like when we aired. Whenever we aired. The point is, it's not like Kevin and I know. When you audition for a show, you sign a 7-year contract, 6-year contract.
Yeah, this isn't a show. There's different rules. No unions, nothing. We got a lot of power here.
And also, too, and if I may say, Doug.
Yeah.
Big mouth. You're a very expensive show. And also, too, you make cheap budget.
Expensive?
What is he talking about? The fucking beer Dylan gets? How about a lunch? How about a meal? He stole my fucking lawnmower. We're expensive.
I don't appreciate your low budget comments on Instagram, and you don't think I see them. You say we're a low budget.
By the
You're
way,
a high budget meant, show here.
I
want to
say that because sometimes, so everyone knows the difference between
it's a nice
me,
room.
The difference between
it's
me
nice
and
room.
KC, though, is. when he gets upset, I do get upset. The truth is everything has been fabulous. Office is great. The studio's great. Guys are amazing. You know, Kevin editing Kevin Dillon's stutters is phenomenal. You don't even notice them at all. So it's really fucking
great. Well, it's really trying to keep you fucking quiet and letting somebody else
talk. I'm trying
talk
to get
a
word
seconds.
In edgewise.
That's really where the big editing job comes
in. I did
what
get
do you want? You want a fucking Eddie's Pizza in the fucking in the thing? What
I miss, nice. I miss Eddie's nice. Pizza. I miss Eddie's Pizza.
Okay.
I need a trip
the point
back
is, here. Sign the fucking contracts.
All right, we'll get into that. Right. So, I think my phone just rang. I saw Jeff Frankel. I might have missed it. Might
Jeff
take another
Frankel.
Week.
I'm not afraid
might
of Jeff.
Might
Frankel.
Take
Jeff,
another week.
Jeff
to get
Frankel don't want to call from my guy. I'll fucking send my guys.
We know your guy.
Let's get back to the episode because I do think it was a great episode that really showed what everybody's purpose is. And one of the problems I had when the show started and why I didn't instantly like the idea, because I was like, what's all their purpose? And this one really comes out. E. Kevin Connolly is really strong in this episode, is coming into his own and wanting to be like actually a businessman. And I'm not making a joke. Turtle is really showing he's got a purpose and shows how he helps drama get his headshots.
He's really trying.
He's really trying and he's delivering. And I think it's great. And the headshot story, which it's funny to look back on, and honestly, Apple should sponsor this because I've said it before. Yes. I put Apple products on before anyone was using them. And people were like, Apple. I'm like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened.
You did get us a nice laptop, too, at the end of the season.
But you also write on Apple computers, so it makes sense, right?
Well, I mean, not really at the time. They were just coming out at the time. So I happened to switch because I've said before, I had a son and I wanted to get into movie editing, which Apple was good at. Mm-hmm. But at the time, I mean, they didn't even have drivers for printers. I used to write a script and I couldn't even print it. I'm not exaggerating. Look at Apple's stock in 2001 when I bought my first Apple product. But anyway, we were obsessed with using it. And the idea of going into the Apple store was actually, it seems silly, but it was actually a really, it was a clever idea.
Wait a second. I got a couple wardrobe changes.
I mean, I
a couple wardrobe changes.
And, you know.
Then he goes, what's that apple? The headshots are great, but what's that apple in the behind your head? You see the apple in the. Funny,
I love
funny
that.
Stuff,
and
Doug.
To prove
seriously,
how,
very funny.
And to prove how non-homophobic I was, Dillon rips off his shirt. You look like Pitt in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I mean, you were jacked up. You looked great.
What, don't make me take it off right now.
Please don't take your shirt.
He knows we're on audio, so he knows no one's going to see it. The episode, the guys come back. They're on the plane. He's got his relationship problems, as he often does, and really is a great episode where everybody delivers. And Busey kills it in this episode. He's hilarious.
Again, he's great.
Busey in that episode?
Yes. I forgot about that. He started the second season.
What?
He came back. He set up a piece of art on the lawn.
Oh, is that where your meetings and your lives are
meaningless?
Yes. And awesome. He's actually, I mean, great. And the whole thing really just flies.
That was the tickle and pee scene. I didn't even know that.
Yes, he was chasing you around.
That was the tickle and pee scene when we were on the front lawn. You're meeting and he played tickle and pee. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. And this introduced one of our favorite cast members, Rex Lee. We got to get him on this thing.
Matt agent later on.
Yep. And
after I gave him all that attitude.
Yep.
In the same vein as Emmanuel, it could have been something. It could have not been something. And Rex. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he delivered.
Rex turned and hit that one into the upper deck.
He knocked it out of the park and became a regular.
Yep. Yeah. And the truth is, to talk about casting, just in, you know, there was nothing done in a PC manner that casting went out. There was no type, not female, not male. I wrote some lines and he came in and I tailored the entire role for Rex, you know? And
so you won't fuck my agent, right? That's the reason, right?
Also, too, Doug, and I know, you know, talk to you a little bit about this. And again, it's a hard thing to hear because people are whatever. We don't want to get anybody up in arms. But the truth is we won a diversity award.
Yeah, we won something, and we won a Peabody.
We won a Peabody, like, we had a lot of different types of people of all kinds of, like, and I don't know, it's like, I think people would, like, scoff at the idea, but we did win a diversity award, and we won a Peabody.
We won a Peabody, which was a very prestigious award, and, you know, as we see in town now, it's like, okay, you know, this guy, if they're Asian, they got to play Asian, obviously. If they're Black, they got to play Black, blah, 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 blah. But it's gotten into such a situation where some of the great roles in history would never be played by the actors that were played. And, you know, I think about this all the time. Robert De Niro plays a Jewish guy in Casino, and Jimmy Caan plays an Italian guy in The Godfather. And now is that I don't know. Is that not PC anymore? Is that not whatever? So my opinion is the best actor is the best actor. But, you know, I think that Daniel Day-Lewis won an Oscar for My Left Foot. He obviously wasn't a paraplegic. And if they went and searched for one, the odds of them finding one who's as good as Daniel Day-Lewis are probably pretty slim.
Zero.
But, you know, zero is probably the right number. But anyway, Rex got that job on his talent alone because it wasn't written for an Asian American. It was written, bring in the best actors, everybody, whatever diversity. And let's find the best.
Rex was funny. And you know what else, too? Rex was tough, thick-skinned.
Yeah.
Any of that shit. He was a rock.
Yes.
Rex was a rock on that show.
Now listen, I love Rex, and I hope.
You like to take credit for everything?
Well, we got to get him on this show at some stage, I hope, right?
No, I hope that Rex did feel that way. I hope that Rex didn't feel that it wasn't comfortable for him. He definitely never expressed that to me in any way.
I think Rex had a blast. You know,
we were all good friends.
Yeah. So. I mean, I love him, so hopefully we'll get him on.
Yeah, we'll get him on. But after that scene with Rex where we meet him for the first time. I go to Adam Davies' office.
Yep, you got your
and
new.
Do you remember
agent.
The headshot?
I remember the headshot. It's hilarious.
Was about, like from '84.
Yeah, and you're like, what's wrong with this?
It's always worked in the past.
Dylan, is that the headshot that got you the blob? Is that your blob headshot?
I think it was pre-blob, dude.
Yeah, it was definitely
pre-blob.
Yeah, that's probably your first headshot one of them.
That is my first headshot. And just I don't even know where you guys found that.
By the way, just so everyone knows. That is 1,000,000% realistic. All the time when you're casting, you get photos and you go, oh my God, this is the person. And they come in and they're 65 years old.
Yeah.
And you're like, how dare you send me this picture and claim that this is who's going to walk in the door? So again, in that realistic sense of trying to figure out how to make everything feel like what is Hollywood, that was real.
Sheila Jaffe posted on Facebook and it was a picture of, like, I guess when the cast was officially assembled and it was all of our headshots on a wall.
I'd love
to see
that.
I have the picture. We'll post it.
Wow.
It's fucking wild, bro.
Oh, we got to see that.
Yeah, I mean, we all, and we were. We just were babies.
Yeah.
You know?
Time goes fast.
Well, mine was a Bruce Weber headshot. I don't know who
true?
Photographer was. What? Yeah, I did. I used the Bruce Weber headshot
really?
For a long time. I don't know. I got to.
Bastard.
It's not really Bruce. It's his company or is it him?
No, he shot me. He shot my whole family.
Was he behind the lens? Let's
really?
But so I had to get permission to say, can I use this for my headshot?
Is this the first time we hear Aquaman?
Yes, this is the first time we hear Aquaman. And
Vince wants nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
He's like, I do not want to play. This sounds stupid.
Yeah, and that's honestly, you know, looking back now, Aquaman was supposed to be the worst sounding movie idea ever, so that the only way it could possibly sound good is if James Cameron was directed. Yeah. And now, obviously, 20 years later, technology changed that, you know, they made a successful movie
but
out of it.
But James Cameron didn't come up in this episode at all, did he?
Actually, James Cameron did.
But not
Emily,
for Aquaman.
Because Emily went to work for James Cameron. Connelly's
ex. That's right. But not as the Aquaman director.
And at this point, again, Doug, don't be mad at me because I don't know the fucking episode word for it. I'm asking a question. Aquaman is in the universe, or are they talking to Ari about Aquaman?
Ari delivers a script and says, I've got this script. And
you
got to
take it.
It's Aquaman. Read it. But, like, they want him, or
Vince wants to do.
Is he in the mix?
They want him, but there's no offer. But Ari thinks he can get this movie, and they want Medi.
He's like, I want to do Medi.
Yeah, which is
something. I don't want to do this
something
stupid
else.
Cartoon movie.
The amount of people on this show, intelligent, talented people who could not say the word Medellin is mind-boggling.
Including a businessman back here. I mean, you did not say Medellin properly.
Do you want to hear something crazy? Said, my girlfriend is from
Colombia.
Medellin.
Medellin. That's the way, But we don't have to say it like that. Medellin.
By the way, I walked.
Fine.
Well, listen.
But you said Medellin.
It is.
No. There was a lot of going back and forth about this. But I can tell you.
There was no going back and forth.
No, there was. There was a lot. It was like an ongoing joke about who was saying it right and who was saying it wrong.
I was
my girlfriend is from there.
Okay.
And it's Medellin.
Okay. Different thing. If you
would. Different thing from somebody that lives there?
She is a Spanish speaker.
You're from Long Island.
If you fucking
Americans
walked in,
say Medellin.
If you
we
walked in
Medellin.
And said
Doug,
Medellin,
this isn't the five towns.
Okay, if you walked in and said Medellin, people would have laughed you off the screen.
No, but when he first says it, he says Medellin. It doesn't sound anything.
Well, and Ari says it wrong also in about a 30 seconds later. What the tragedy is of Connolly's lack of homework here is,
oh, shut up.
She could have watched it last night and been like, what the hell are these people saying? She would have actually laughed her ass off.
I have a Medellin t-shirt.
That's the way you should say it, right there. Boom.
Medellin.
I have a Medellin t-shirt, which, like, I guess in one of my, like, meathead phases,
that shirt.
I cut the sleeves off and I hate that I did it because now it's a tank top. So when you're not, like, in the gym, you can't wear it. It's a house shirt.
I'm going to make you a new Medellin shirt.
I want to hear your first time saying Medellin.
Here it is.
Relax. It's a studio movie.
Really?
It's big.
Show them.
What is this, a Showtime miniseries? Come on.
No. It's Medellin. The Pablo Escobar story.
All right, so what? You don't think I said it
He's
right way?
He's miming it. I didn't even know. No, you
totally
didn't
wrong.
It.
Well, you were standing there with your head up my ass the whole time. Why didn't you correct me on the spot?
I made magic out of you.
It's called ADR, additional dialogue recording, that I could have fixed that in a heartbeat.
You know what? I don't think we had the budget then. It was kind of like this podcast.
It's kind of like this podcast. I knew that was coming.
So I used to literally sit there and go, Medellin. And not Medellin. You know, I'm not trying to go, Medellin.
Medellin.
Okay, but I want Zulai to listen to all of you, because I'm telling you, it was said like 17 different ways. And I used to get so frustrated. I'm like, why is everyone ignoring me? Just say Medellin. You don't have to put an accent
on it. Billy Wall said Medellin later on, it made sense that he would say Medellin.
Paul Ben Victor, the studio. Your head. He's like, oh, Medellin. Hell of a script.
So he said it properly, though, I think.
I don't know, but I owe
Because you sounded like Paul Ben Victor.
The other one was Medellin and then Can. It was a Con or Can.
That big one was Avion. And I went over, I can't wait till we have Dice on this, but Dice must have said it 1,000 times. I'm like, Dice, Avion.
And he go, Avion.
Yeah. I'm like, no, Avion's a water company. Medellin, by the way, just a little backstory, came from, I was on a vacation. I read the book Killing Pablo, and I thought it would be a really cool idea. And then years later, as I remembered, and maybe someone could Google it, Oliver Stone said that Ari Gold found him the Pablo Escobar story. So that was pretty cool.
So we come back. We're looking for the next movie. Ari wants him to do Aquaman based on Queen, because we did Queens Boulevard, and we're already off on Medellin.
Yeah, you're off on another
thing.
And Vince is saying, you know what? I'll just go do plays in New York.
Yeah. Yeah, he plays.
So then Ari
plays a gag, $400 a week.
Ari's like, you know what? If you guys do not do Aquaman, you're done here. We have to separate. I'm going. You go your own way.
Does he threaten Vince?
He threatens you, to saying if you don't get your boy to do this, we're done together.
Do you realize it's like Connolly seeing the show for the first time? I mean, and he's loving it.
I think one of our best endings of all time.
Oh, it's
because
phenomenal.
All that intensity of we're done. We're done with Ari. We're going to separate. And I'm going to cut you.
Non-self-aware drama walks in.
I walk in. My headshot was a big hit.
His headshot.
They love me. And then what does he go? It's going to be an epic year. Yeah. No, not epic. What was it? I didn't have my notes here, but.
Something to that effect.
It's going to be a great fucking year. You feel it?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, there's the one line where Ari's going over Vince's current offers. He's like, here's one for you and the Olsen twins. It's a love triangle between you and Ashley.
No, it was something, I forget the exact line, but it was like where you try to figure out if you can guess the difference between them or something like that. But episode ends with a great news track, and I love that. You guys in the elevator and the door closing. But
I'm all fired up. You guys
are
all sad.
We do some things that we clearly were getting our legs under us. We bring it back to Coy, which was in the pilot, and E and Ari at Coy, where E is grown a little bit, but still Ari's got the same frustrations that he can't believe he has to deal with this guy. This is also extremely realistic. When a movie star comes in and starts doing his I want to do my passion project, often can make an agent, and there are agents that have fired big actors, not giant movie stars, but up-and-coming actors who don't want to listen to them and can't be managed. So in wrapping this up, episode 1, season 2, a lot of things were set up here that really gave us, it's probably my favorite drive of the 8 seasons, to be honest with you, but we really set it up nicely. They're going to go for this Aquaman thing, and there's some really nice turns and great episodes. Sundance is coming up, and it was really a fun season. But looking back on this episode, and maybe Kevin Connolly will do that tonight, but it was actually great to see it. And wraps up another episode of Victory the Podcast. I'm Doug Ellen at Mr. Doug Ellen.
I'm Kevin Dillon. Kevin Dillon Official.
Victory! You are